Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide. From faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters, the Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
It's a face. So, keep praying. Keep praying. I'm trusting God that it will happen because we have waited for long. Those who understand already understand. If you don't understand, then forget it. But pray. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. My focal verse for this first delivery is verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They will not be made willing. They will show up willing. There's a badge that this company of men will wear. And the badge will be a badge of willingness. They will have been approved of God as being willing. So it will not be a day in which the Spirit will plead for men to yield. In preparation, they will have attained to a state of yieldedness such that their wills have died and now they live at the communications of the will of God. Once he speaks, they move. Once he speaks, they stop. Once he speaks, they engage. So they arrived at this location because of a season of preparation. Amen. 2, they will wear the badge of holiness. And many times when we have had the privilege to share from this verse of scripture, is one of my most preached set of verses. Someone wants you. They will show up in a second badge. It means that these people will be multi-chartered. It's like a chartered accountant. You are a chartered engineer, you are a chartered architect, because it's a day of multitasking. And each of these badges will qualify them to function in a specific dimension of what God is doing. So, in addition to the badge of willingness, they will also wear a badge of perfected holiness. Somebody say perfected holiness. They will not be trying to initialize attaining unto holiness. The word holiness there can be accurately substituted with the word consecration. It means that by reasoning, they will have arrived at a point, according to Romans chapter 12, at a point of being reasonable. That because of the many things that Jesus has accomplished for them, they should not live unto any other person. It means that they will be 100% ready to live unto God and God alone. They will no longer be open to be borrowed. They will be like lands or houses that do no longer bear the tag for sale. Their tags will be sold out. It means that they've gone beyond the realms of negotiation. Amen. That's the second badge that they will wear. Give me back my verse of scripture. I'm just trying to expound that verse. I won't do much with it in this particular teaching. The Bible says that their emergence will be from the womb of the morning And that speaks about freshness. Because if you wake up at dawn, like I did this morning, I had to drive back into town this morning at dawn. If you are a teacher of the word, I want to encourage that you fellowship with those three sermons I preached here yesterday morning. The faithful teacher of the word. Part 1, part 2, part 3. I think we posted them. Yes, they are already on our... Okay, good. So, Jerry, thank you for getting those messages to us early. So, I left at dawn. So I had the rare privilege of seeing the sun rise this morning. You know, when the sun sets, it's as though it sets in weakness. It means that these people will emerge after the end of a glorious era. An era that creation begins to feel will not give back to newness. An era that makes creation feel that we have seen the best that we're designed to see. So, it means that our emergent will be not at the crest of the manifestation of the people of God. It will be in the trough. So, we'll have seen the best days. And the best days will yield to a progressive decline. But while night seemingly engulfs the earth and everybody's beginning to feel, oh, it's all over, suddenly dawn. And like the sun rises in the morning, the Bible says they will also emerge from the womb of the morning. So they are a generation that wears a thought badge of freshness. The Bible says that they will not wear three, but four badges. And on the last leg, the Bible says, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now, the dew has an assignment. If you have studied creation, the assignment of the dew is to ensure that the earth does not become a desert in the absence of rain. That's why the dew comes. So it means that they will emerge in a season where the rain of heaven is no longer falling. There will be those who have sourced their strength from God's reserve. That even though it's darkness, like I was sharing last week, how that a season came in Israel where the lamp of God had gone out in the temple. A boy could still capture the sounds of God, and the Bible says it is from the womb of the morning that God has the dew of thy youth. Now, the word youth in scriptures is synonymous with strength. It means that there will be men who are still connected to a hidden supply of strength, even where public supplies have gone dry. That they will imagine a day that you can no longer hear great sermons in church, where the prayers no longer express the burdens of God, but people will be wondering how they can stay connected in strange times. This is the fourth badge that they will wear. It's a different kind of people. When Joel was trying to give a picture to what they look like, Joel summarized their reality this way. He said there was none before they came, like them. And when they have passed, there will be none after them. It means that what God has kept certain men for this day of his power. Our cry tonight is that we'll be numbered amongst them. Okay, so you are welcome to September 2022 contact tagged in the day of thy power. You can welcome your neighbor officially. I know you were too serious to welcome them when you came in. Are they responding? Or they are still floating? Please make sure you get a response. Just say a God welcome to them. I'm not hearing you greeting yourselves. Yes, yes. And if you feel that, you can prophesy to them. You can prophesy the goodness of God to them. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 and 6. When God depends on man. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, if you look at that verse 5, you may be tempted to think that the writer of Hebrews was trying to market the concept of faith for translation. Are you with me? So that it is possible that you begin to preach that there is a layer of faith that a man can begin to express in where he will become translated. Well, that is not the theme of that verse of scripture. His translation was not as important to the writer as the summary of verse 5, that it was by faith he pleased God. How do I know? Because in verse 6, he goes beyond the purpose of that verse and the narrative that surrounded the purpose, which was the delivery in verse 5. And in verse 6, he says, but without faith. He uses the word but because the average person will not be raptured in the concept of pleasing God. You will be raptured in translation. And that's what you begin to desire. That a day comes when by your expressions of faith, who stays in your room? Jibola. That one day Jibola will wake up and then you'll just see your clothes on the bed and you'll have gone and it will not be raptured. So he had to create a turning point. The turning point is to bring your heart back to the focus. I said something when I was teaching yesterday. People who want to teach scriptures well must look at the patterns of the writing of scriptures. Verse 5 is distracting. That's what I'm trying to say. It creates an experience that the average person does not walk into every day, so you want to have it. And while you are thinking, "Kai, one day. I'll leave all of you behind because I have faith." And we begin to pursue things that are supposed to be administered only by the government of God and not designed to be desired. Are you with me? Enoch was not desiring to be translated. His desire was to please God. And he was gifted a facility to ensure that his desire came to pass. What facility? Faith. So the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Speaking of God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. When you approach unto God seeking a meeting, because these comings are supposed to be like an approach unto an encounter, there are qualifiers that need to be in place so that encounters with God, meetings with God, even like this evening, are maximized. And the writer of Hebrews is saying the first thing that you need to put in place is that you approach with two belief systems. First is that God is. And in trying to unravel that first requirement, we end up with two sub requirements. One is that you have laid hold on the spiritual reality that God exists. I said on Sunday that everybody is a believer. Everybody. And so in trying to give essence to our belief system, we say that we are believers in Christ. Those who believe every other thing they call a God also believe. And I said on Sunday that even an atheist is a believer. Because the atheist believes that there is no God. So he still believes something. Are you with me? So the one who approaches unto God must approach having apprehended the spiritual reality. That's what it means to believe. It's not mental assent. It's an agreement that goes as far as your spirit. That it will be impossible to draw you away from that posture. Something you have found. Something you have touched. You have enough grounds to defend your position. It is for that purpose that in giving your life to Christ, you were designed to have been exposed to certain education. How would they believe on him of whom they have not heard. Are you with me? So believing in Jesus is not an abstract thing. It's a fact-based existence. That if you say it's a lie, Jesus is not alive, I will sit you down if you have time. And I'll tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things from the book. And if you are not convinced, we'll use realities to clear your doubts that he's alive. Amen. So there is the first side of that coin, which is the belief that God exists. Two is that in every encounter with God, the man who approaches unto God must be conscious of the shape of God that defines that encounter. You may have in your lifetime experienced lack. How many people have in a lifetime? At least you've lacked something. Wave your hand. Oh, some people are very blessed too. They've never had experience lack again. If you live long, you will have to. And you will live long. And the reason is because you cannot understand the all-sufficient until you have gone through lack. That's how you're supposed to learn it. It's not supposed to be cerebral. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth is come, he will not tell you truth. He will guide you through it. So what he does is that he creates an event that allows God to come in so that you can know God for yourself. Amen. Okay. So maybe you have experienced lack and now you know that God is the all-sufficient God. But you have never seen God heal before. When your world needs the healing dimension of God, you cannot approach onto that problem with the providing dimension of God. Are you with me? So, when you approach onto God, you must understand that God does more than give people money. He also heals. And every encounter that you have with God is designed to deliver at least one shape, one face of God. He has multiple faces. His faces are his operational expressions. So his father, his provider, his healer, his deliverer, his judge, his comforter. He can also be your wise, your source of wisdom. So when you meet God, there is a defined face, and that's what makes worship robust. Because in prayers, the worshiper labors into a place where they are informed of the face of God that they have been summoned to fellowship with. So that if what God wants to do is bring all of himself, the Holy Spirit communicates the consciousness of glory. Because glory is the compressed essence of God, or essences of God. But sometimes he wants to come as the powerful God. When he comes like that, the choir is not supposed to sing glory. They are supposed to sing power. Because true worship is acknowledgement. Are you with me? True worship is a response. It's a reaction. It's not an action. It's a response to what you see. If he reveals his holiness, you sing, "Holy are you, Lord." If he receives his might, you sing, "Mighty are you, Lord." Are you with me? So that's what the writer of Hebrew meant, that he that cometh must believe that he is the existence of God and must labor into the possession of the shape of God that he is relating with. It was what Moses encountered in God as the face of the I Am. The I Am is the shape of God that governs, or the name of God that governs his multifaceted expressions. It's like okay. On that, if we had multiple cameras in the house, you will need a video switchboard. Am I right? So that you can bring different perspectives from different cameras. The name of God, the I Am, is that switchboard. It's the one that controls the many faces. And one of the reasons why God gave Moses the name I Am is that this journey will place a demand on you that God must show up in many dimensions. So I'll give you one name, but that name will become to you many things. Are you with me now? Alright, that's the first thing. The second thing is that that man must also believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It means he must possess the consciousness that a genuine quest after God will end up in the finding of God. If you genuinely seek after God, you will find me. There are other verses of scriptures that give us a hint into what God captures within that word diligently. The psalmist said, "Oh Lord, my God," can you finish the verse? "Early will I seek thee." It means the one who goes after God diligently must be an early seeker. That's one. The psalmist, in trying to define his quest for God, he said, "My soul waiteth upon the Lord." It means the one who diligently seeks Him must thirst after God without options. You must take an oath of no other solution until God shows up. Amen. The Bible also says to us that if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. It means the one that diligently seeks him must have labored into congregating everything that makes up their existence. So, like Psalm 42, you have, "As the deer panted for the waters, my soul longs after thee." And then he begins to stretch it. Verse 2 is where I'm going to. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, and the desire is an appearance." It's also the psalmist that said, "My soul longs for thee, my flesh thirsts for thee." He had secured the fellowship of spirit, soul, and body in the pursuit of God. The reason why we may not have found him is that we have not labored like those who want to find him. So that the labor of the foolish wearieth all of them, because they do not know how to get into the city. Stay with me. I chose that portion of scripture because as we begin to labor into this day of power, there are manifestations of the essence of God that we need to relearn. And until we come to terms with these manifestations, we might miss the purpose of the day. Let's join. Having studied from Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just trying to go forward and then come back so that you understand how Hebrews 11 enters into Psalm 110 verse 3. There are two questions that I think we need to ask ourselves as we journey. The first is, do I really believe that God is? How many of you have bothered to ask yourself that question? Do I really believe that God is? Many of us have agreed that God is verbally. But is it a conviction that goes deeper than your lips? Because when we begin to believe that God is, there are things that we can no longer do. Are you with me? In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that utmost depravity is proof that God is no longer captured in the knowledge of a man. Are you with me? So if a man says, "I believe that God is," and when we check, we find out that you are functioning like he's not there. I was saying some time ago that when people want to steal, for example, their visions are cross-like. He looks forward, he looks backward, he looks to the left, he looks to the right. If he's more afraid, he goes beyond that X and Y axis travel. You know, that's X and Y. He takes a third axis, which is the Z axis, and tries to go diagonally to say, okay. He forgets to look up. Because in his mind, the only thing that is up is the sky. And he does not think that the sky has a CCTV-like system that monitors iniquity. Well, I don't know if the sky has, but the ground has. The first whistleblower in creation was the earth. You know the concept of a whistleblower. Somebody who spies on iniquity and goes to announce to the authorities. The first we had in the earth was the earth itself. So when you look round, also look down. If you are standing on the earth, it means that somebody is viewing you. And because of long-term oppression in whistleblowing, the earth has mastered how to preserve details. Emmanuel, you see, there are some small children in the house that you don't think that you are seeing anything. No. You are just doing the, you bring your friends to the house, you drink daddy's coke, you eat the food, and when they come, everybody rushes to meet daddy and you think that's the end. Then I say, daddy, when you were not at home, you are wondering, you saw this thing. They will give detail. So when he now, then he now, then he now, they are like chattered parrots. They give every stage of the thing. That's how the earth is. It has been doing that work for a long time. So it has gained mastery of reporting things. Some people are being punished for things that nobody saw them do. And they are wondering who did it. God doesn't need to come down to check. He left the earth as a record keeper. That's why we know that even the things that were done against people in this nation in secret, God will judge them. When you see those children in the house, when you know you have done something wrong, what do you do, Emmanuel? You find something. If you threaten them, they can add the threat to the gist. As I was going to tell you, he now said that. So what you do is that you appease them. And like we heard during the 200 hours, one of the reasons why atrocities have been sustained in our nation is that men have found a way to appease the earth so that the earth sees and no longer speaks. But by prayers, because the earth, why does the earth function like that? I don't know why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. Why does the earth function like that? It's because man lost his place. So the manual of operating in truth that the earth was given to report those things has also been corrupted, so that if the price is right, the earth can compromise. When David saw that the mountains of Gibeon that were supposed to resist the death of the king of Israel colluded with the enemy, he placed a curse on the mountains. How could you watch God's anointed die on you? You didn't rise and block off the enemy. When the sons of God rise, our alignment will bring every other thing back to alignment, because there will be progressive destruction of what the Bible calls the bondage of corruption. I'm saying across all the lands where we have come from, this is the time, this day of power. It's the season to rise and begin to use our liberty. The Bible calls it the glorious liberty of the sons of God to bring creation into liberty. That the earth will no longer see wickedness and cover it. Amen. Let me go back to my notes. I just have burdens. And this day I have to separate between what I'm supposed to teach and the burdens I'm supposed to preach. Do you believe that God is? There is a way darkness can become so impacting that even the people of God lose touch with the potency of God. Two is, do you have details by revelation of the current shape of God in this season? It is to say, do you know what God is doing now? What time is it now? What time? Anybody? 5:05. Okay. That time is relative. Because if you were in the US, for example, the time would not be 5:05. And something that is not global is not reality. Are you with me? We are saying it's evening here now. It's some people's morning. It's some other people's midnight. Are you getting me? So the time is 5:05 because we are here. It's location sensitive. God dwells outside the realms of time. So when we say what time is it, what we are actually saying is what activity of heaven is being occasioned right now. Is God healing or is he saving? Is he breaking bondages or is he judging? When we understand what time it is, we'll be able to come into the consciousness of what face of God is currently related. So that someone can say, God is omnipotent, and we agree with you. God is omniscient, that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and we agree with you. But my assignment in introducing this subject is to say that in this day, it is God's day of rest because he has perfected all that is required to ensure that his the enemies of the Christ become the footstool of the Christ. So God has finished his own side of the partnership. And what he's currently doing is waiting on Emmanuel to complete his own side of the partnership. So while you are waiting on God, the true state of things is that God is waiting on you. While you are depending on God to deliver, God sent me to tell you that he has delivered. He's depending on you to deliver your part. That's where we are. The day of the power of the Christ is the day of God's dependence. God loses his independence because he has perfected his own side of the coin. And even though he still shows up as God, the omnipotent, the omniscient, he has chosen not to express those energies through himself. He will only operate it through the man that is depending on. When we were in school, sometimes our teachers come to class tired, and then they manage to write a mathematics sum on the board. And then in trying to solve it, they look for a good student and say, I'm tired. Come and teach your mates. Now, that young man, it's not in if you went to a good school. You are not supposed to come from home with chalk. Am I right? If you used to bring chalk from home to your school, you did not go to a good school. You are supposed to come with something to write in a book, not on a board. Am I right? I know there are schools, Pastor Diola, that people go to, they come with chalk. They even carry their chair. You went to a chair carrying school, raise your hand. Once they give them admission in those schools, they go to a cabinet. They buy their chair. So when they are going to school, they carry it on their head. Those schools advertise irresponsible governance. How can you admit me and then I'm making my chair? It's like the school that Christiana is serving in. They don't even have ceiling. Holes everywhere. No chairs. In some classroom, stones. And when my daughter got there, she said, everybody said redeploy. She called me, she was in tears. Daddy, see where they posted me to. I said, you can't redeploy. You were sent as a missionary. So there may be no chairs there, but there are human beings there. And you were sent not just to teach, to minister to human beings. If there are human beings there, then your conversion labors begin. She said, stay there. So we don't send people for youth service here for comfort. It's for work. Are you with me? It's for work. My own work in youth service involved traveling across those zones in Borno State that nobody wants to mention now. I was overseeing 13 of those local governments. And to travel from one stretch to the other will take 9 hours if you have a good car in one state. To strengthen brethren, to strengthen brethren. Now when you come back, I remember one night I came back, I shared the story. I had beans in a pot on that heating element. You know that circular heating element. They called me when my beans had burnt. And the whole base of the pot had already burnt. So it was just the side of the pot that was remaining. And when I opened my eyes, I was too tired. I just carried the electric cooker, we used to call it, because we were living in the barracks. I just carried it and threw everything out and went back to sleep. That's how tired we were. Many times our clearance forms were not signed. Because those who were to sign them said, they told you to come and serve the nation, but you are converting our people. So we were in the peril of not collecting allowance. It was 9.5 for the banks. 9.7 for the banks give us 9.5. You take 200 from coppers. That's how we survived. We were on 3,000 naira from Borno State. Until the governor came to address us in one of the camps. And the construction of his sentence was wrong. So we laughed. And then he said, because we laughed, you will start collecting 1,000 naira from today. So our laughter cost us 2,000 naira across the months. But we stayed because we understood that we were sent. In the day of your sending, may you not go to Tarshish. All right. So, I am saying to us that God's face in this season, He is God the Omnipotent, but He has chosen to show up as God the Dependent. It's an unconventional appearance, and so we may not be able to wrap our theology around it, but my explanation should help you that when God depends on a man, what he needs is a vessel. He's still the one who walks in the man. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, a commonly used verse in this house, the Bible says, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do. So, in the day that God shows up as dependent, what he's seeking to do is to find a vessel in whom he can communicate his will and in whom he can show forth his might, his capacity to do. I'm saying all you need to contribute in this day is a vessel. That's all. A vessel. If God will find a vessel that is branded with those four badges, then earth will not be able to recover from your impact as a believer. I was saying in the Lord last night when I was ministering, the subject was thy kingdom come. I'm trusting God for those sermons to come. Jesus tore through us yesterday. I was ministering in the CNS church, that CNS church at Muritala. That's where I ministered yesterday night. He tore through us yesterday. And I was emphasizing there that Jesus wants to be seen everywhere. So when we say thy kingdom come, we are saying that we want the government of God to manifest with many faces. So people will begin to see God the market woman. They will see God the cobbler. That you think it's not a big thing you are doing, but people who put their feet into the shoes that you make will be able to say, you are just like, because my only text was John 3:1-5. Like they testified of Jesus, thou art a teacher sent from God. They'll be able to say to the cobbler, thou art a cobbler. sent from God. That Bolu, when you run your programs, they will say, "Ah, you are a programmer sent from God." The world does not know that God sends all kinds of people. That if you are a caterer, you'll be a caterer from God, a food vendor from God. Are you getting my point? A fashion designer sent from God. A banker sent from God. We have labored all to be pastors sent from God. That's why, you know, many people don't have wirings for what they are trying to do. It's a day to be yourself, because God wants to win in every facet. And He wants to leave a signature that differentiates you from the next person. That even if what both of you sell is garri, they'll be able to say you are a garri seller sent from God. Because God wants to be a garri seller. God wants to sell pure water. Are you getting my point? Mr. Taiwo, God wants to farm. And before I close tonight, I will show you how God gave expression to this last day enterprise that is engaged in. Farming is one of them. He needs a vessel. That's the cry I've come to release. He needs a vessel. The greatest hindrance of God, like announced on Sunday in this season, is not the enemy. When Jesus announced on the cross, "It is finished," a face of darkness lost his hold. That he died was victory on one side. That he resurrected was victory on the second side. So the two sides of the coin that advertise the dominion of darkness have been vanquished by the Christ. So the apostles cried out, "Oh death, where is thy sting? And oh grave, where is thy victory?" You see, that's the greatest blow the enemy can deliver, is death. Jesus walked through it without a scar. And to keep in the grave, the enemy was not permitted to do. He rose up on the third day. It means the enemy knows that between him and the Christ, there's no fight. The trophy is already hanging. What happened on the day of Pentecost was that God transmitted the trophy, the seal of the victory. What is waiting for now is a man that will walk the earth with this seal and will live by the government of the seal. He needs a vessel. Ah. My cry is that you apprehend the truth. That God needs you. He needs you. I have seen some verses in scriptures that seemingly crash people's theology. I was teaching somewhere and I said, "Do you know that God needs men?" And even my host pastor, I saw the way his eyes flashed. You see, none of us is called to help God secure a reputation. If you don't talk about him, he still is. But God, for the fulfillment of his purposes, has decided to enter into certain shapes. And those shapes do nothing to his essence as God. Are you with me? He's not God because of what he does. He's not God because of how he acts. He's God because of who he is. And even though he took upon himself the nature of sinful man, he didn't become sinful. Are you with me? So he was still immortal. Corruption still did not touch him, because his garment was separated from him. Are you with me? The Bible said he was tempted at all points. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, yet without sin. How can Pharaoh say, "Which God sent you to me?" If you were God, what would you have done? You would have smacked him. But you see, for a season, God allows men to seemingly prevail against him. And he does not take strength out of God. It doesn't mean that he's weak. But he becomes things for his purposes. So I was teaching that the all-sufficient God is a needy God. Because the needs of God are most clearly advertised when what he wants to perform requires an accurate man. So he comes in Isaiah chapter 66 and announces, he says, heaven is my dwelling place, right? The earth is my footstool. Then he says, where is the house that he built unto me? God was not looking for a temple. He was looking for a human host. God becomes needy when it comes to men, because he has designed his enterprise to be secured by men. It's like one who stands like a coach and is giving instruction to his boys. Because even though he's an intelligent person, if he steps on the field, it becomes unlawful. Are you getting my point? They have subdivided the regions. I will take the heavens. I will take heaven. I will conceptualize. I will perfect the counsel. But for the earth, I will only conceptualize, and I will reveal the template to a man. It's a man that will get it done. Why our lands still bear the signatures of darkness is because the need of God has not been met. People say that what God needs is praise. You need to get a snapshot of heaven. You will find out that the best of our choral groups do not do as well as angels do in praise. The average praiser in the earth has not seen God before. So the things you are calling him are the things you read. Are you with me? How can you worship somebody that that's what Jesus said? He said, you worship what he know not. We worship the one that we know. And the word know there does not suggest that we were told about him. It's that we have cognitive knowledge. We encountered him and then we were mentally supplied that this is what he is. So their worship is pure. Those throne room creatures, the Bible says they keep crying, holy, holy, holy. Because they understand that when we say God is powerful, there's no powerful man. I don't want to stay there. I'm just trying to clear your minds that, you see, when God comes as dependent, he doesn't touch his person. He uses the totality of his essence as God to come into that shape, because by design, that is the only way his enterprise can be perfected. So they said, when the creature says holy, it's because he sees a dimension of God that nobody can come to. What he's saying is, what I have seen is consecrated to you. It means when we say that a man is powerful, we lie. Because when the four living creatures see power and their response to power is holy, it means that there is no powerful person. Power is consecrated to God. So the Bible says, once has God spoken, twice have I heard, that all power outside him, it's no power. He's the only one who really fits into the definition of glory. Because what he possesses neither grows nor diminishes. Are you with me? So he's the only one who is glorious. I was here yesterday, I was sharing on the concept of immortality. That there's no other creature that can be called immortal. Because angels are not immortal. They are eternal beings. But they are not immortal. Because the best of them had capacity to play host to iniquity. And what makes you immortal is that you have passed beyond the realms of corruption. Death cannot enter you, but sin can also not be found in you. For there is none holy as the Lord. Help me choir. There is none beside thee.
One more time.
Oh, there is none.
Father, we acknowledge you. Any rock like our God. Amen. Amen. When God wants to carry out his agenda in eternity and time, scripture reveals to us that God deploys certain divine essences. Stay with me. It's as though God possesses a set of fragrances. And every time he wants to carry out something, what he does is that he looks for a fitting fragrance and deploys that fragrance. We have found in scriptures that each of these fragrances is allocated an expression, so that if I want to cover my head as a lady, I will need to look for a hair tie. You cannot put a shoe on your head and call it a hair tie. Just as we have specific things for specific purposes, God also, in administering his government in time and eternity, has specific things for specific purposes. And we have found out that every time the desire of God is to prevail over and against his enemies, he deploys one divine essence that is referred to as power. It may come as a display, it may come as God showing up, but the purpose of power is to prevail, or to make God prevail over his enemies. Because of the organization, therefore, of God's kingdom, every time he wants to win, he manifests power. But he has decided not to bother himself with those manifestations, so that every time warfare comes against his counsel, he has established structures of performance who have the capacity to generate this winning essence called power. I'm saying that in God, he has many sources of, well, he is the source of power, but he has distribution channels that deliver power. So that sometimes the way he delivers power, wins over his enemies, is not to destroy them. Because this divine essence called power always takes on the nature of the distribution channel. It's still confusing, but I'll clear your doubt. There is what we refer to as the power of mercy. Have you heard that word before? Have you heard somebody say the power of mercy? Okay, you have heard the power of love before. Are you with me? Redemption was about the power of love. What God did was to embed one of his structures of performance called love with his winning essence. Because, Victor, before you were saved, you were God's enemy. The Bible said that you were captured in the reality of those that scriptures called the children of disobedience. You were by nature an enemy of God. When God collided with you, his collision did not waste you. His collision redeemed you. So he prevailed over your state by power, but it was stewarded by love. So you were preserved even though you were overcome. Are you with me? So when we say the power of love, it is not that love has the capacity to originate power, because all power belongs to God. Is that God has decided to use this spiritual structure called power. Called love, to steward his power. So we have other things like the power of mercy. So that when an enemy of God stands before God, instead of crushing them, what God does is that he takes away from them what they deserve and gives to them what they don't deserve, in goodness, and then it wearies them. You know when somebody wants to do you harm, he comes to your house, he already has the harm in mind, and then you sit him down and then mama pounds yam and he eats. If his soul has not totally been taken by the enemy, he will say, oh, let's go. Say, this guy, let's not hurt this one. Say, ah, somebody that you are angry with, and then he now gives you food. He had the ability to quench his enemies, but he decided, well, I'll still win all the same, but I won't crush. What I will do is to forgive what you have done and give you what you don't deserve. So he comes in mercy, he ends that enterprise in grace, and then the man loses resistance, he still wins. But I found out that there's a structure, and I believe that it is God's last day structure for distributing this divine essence called power that is needed for the prevailing of the divine enterprise, and it is man. That man will not be given the permission to originate power, but man will be a gift to God in the day that God wants to distribute power. So we will come into the consciousness of such a concept as the power of the people of the Christ, or if you want, the power of the people of God. The church was not designed to operate without power. Neither was the church designed to originate power. But through the church, the Bible says that, through the saints, the Bible says that it has pleased God to make known to the principalities and powers what? The manifold wisdom of God. You see, that wisdom is not showmanship. That wisdom is designed to conquer anyone that you flash it to. You know, when somebody comes and thinks they are wise, and then you do something, and then they find out that, so we're even foolish. It wearies them. Nobody dies that way. Somebody comes and he has perfected his lies, and he comes before you and says, you know, this. I say, you shall not be lying again. You that. There's a way they become deflated and then they submit. Amen. That's the assignment of the church. Jesus knew that man lost in a war of wisdoms in Genesis chapter 3. And so he has decided that from the same channel that occasioned your fall, from that same channel I will establish your governance. So the people of God are actually supposed to express as one of God's power distribution channels. So if all that we have as a church is to talk, and in the day that darkness rises we do not have an answer, then we have failed God, because we were allocated power in the day that God was sharing himself, or sharing that spiritual essence across different things. You were saved because a day will come when Jesus wants to win, and so that he will find in the earth a vessel to communicate his winning essence. That was why you were not saved and caught up to heaven. You were left in the earth so that in receiving God's gift, you will become a gift unto God in the day that he wants to fight. Emmanuel, in a lifetime, God has won many battles for you. I'm saying the reason why he won all those battles was because he knew that a day will come when through you he will also win. It becomes criminal that all that you do is to celebrate, God won for me. And in the day that God wants to win, he begins to ask such questions like, I sought for a man. One of God's biggest problems now is that there is a quorum across cities that is supposed to be met so that darkness can diminish in stature. But there is a scarcity of accurate men. God's appraisal entities come all the time to check and see how decorated we are, and they have found out that there are believers who have been in church for 20 years but have no badge. They need to be bullied into everything they do for God. So they are not willing. They have not learned that they were saved to live for one. They have not learned that their source, that they were designed for a supply of strength, even in a day of scarcity. They did not understand that the scars of aging is not supposed to be on them. And what do I mean by the scars of aging? That when we check, we find out that your utterances define what Jesus said 2 years ago. It means you are not fresh. There are people who testify to coming into the presence but don't live there. Visitors. Are you with me? So when they say, what's God saying? You know, what God said in 1982 is what he said. It's still God's word. But when you ask them, what is God saying now? You find out that because they have not fellowshipped in recent times, they are still where God used to be. And may you not be under a pastor who last visited 10 years ago. He will not be criminalized as speaking the words of a man. But because we understand that what God is doing is a move. And if you've not listened to my sermon, The Rise of the Savior Company. I think that was the first sermon I preached at the Federal Poly Adwekiti last week. How was I just saying? Last week, Thursday. I spent my first 30 minutes defining the concept of a move of God. And how that move is designed to be partnered with transgenerationally until we come to a final generation in which that move is supposed to become, is supposed to find fulfillment. And how that most times when that move travels, every other generation contributes. The enemy builds a stronghold around the finishing generation to ensure that what God has in mind does not come to pass. So that what has journeyed without resistance comes into a final generation, and then we begin to count generations. Because God will not compromise on the quality of delivery. He becomes a waiter, waiting for every new generation saying, are you the one, or we should wait for another? In families, in institutions, in territories. My prayer to God is that some of the moves that were, that all of the moves that were apportioned to find fulfillment in our generation, we not lack men. Let me close this opening delivery and then become more fluid, because I had to take this dictation for this. It is the design of God. I'm going to read through because of time. It is this design of God, rather, this design of God, that among all the structures through which God distributes power, man should express as a cardinal structure. This design of God gives God a platform to manifest as one who depends on his people. He saved them to depend on them. He feeds them to depend on them. Like it happened on the mountains of Philistia, Israel was feeding its military men so that they can fight on his behalf. Unfortunately, they fed for 39 days until the 40th day, when food became scarce. And then those at home, outside the government, started sending food. Thank God David came. That battle will have lasted until there was no more food in Israel. I'm saying that God gives you bread so that he can depend on you. You have clothes on your back. Your mind is sane. All the attempts to make you mad did not work. All the attempts to make you sick did not work. Because God is saying to you that I need you. And you can preach to your neighbor and tell them, God needs you. We need to begin to live like people who are needed by God. And I don't need a title to fulfill that mandate. Me is enough. Because there are pastors who have no badges. There are apostles who are not willing men. There are apostles who don't know the way of consecration. There are apostles who are visitors who don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High. There are apostles who don't know the ways of unused of uncommon strength. God needs me. That's why I'm still in Nigeria. He has an agenda for this nation that cannot find fulfillment if I'm not here. I'm that important. And I didn't do anything to become important. He actually saved me to be important. I said something in Ibadan last week, and somebody had to look at it a lot. I said, you see, we are not preferred men. What makes us prefer? Because we did anything. So we are not preferred by God because we fasted more than everybody. We were just shown mercy to find out what God preferred. And because we took sides with what God preferred, we became preferred. If what burdens God becomes your burden, then you will be preferred among men. Are you with me? That's the secret. There are no special ones. But if you make special what God makes special, that choice makes you special. God needs us. It has taken too long to find an accurate man across territories, and God is opening this contact, saying to us, I need you. Live differently. Talk differently. You will need to pray differently. You will need to conceive differently. Your ideas need to shift. Because what ultimately becomes of your life is not just going to impact your family. I know some students are in school and they are trying to do well because they think that they are the ones that will help your family. I can announce to you, God has better plans for your family. How can your family depend on you? Come on. There's this feeling of importance. You mean that if you don't succeed, they will go hungry. Who told you? When he designed how he will feed them. Have you been feeding them? You know, when I see some young men hustling, we need to know God. Until God tells you that your family depends on you, don't think about it. So we are not sure if they depend on you. I know you are the only graduate, but who told you that the graduates are the only ones who can feed families? The one that has been feeding you all this time, is he a graduate? Don't we have uncles who are rich and are not dubious? And I've been sending people to the schools that they could not go to. Am I saying something? So what makes you feel that, I must, so that I can feed them? With all your hustling, how much have you sent them? You're here tonight because heaven has a need that it cannot meet in any other way. My wife saw me preparing this afternoon when I came back in the morning. And after a while, I had to leave the house. I said, Kai, this thing is not entering well. Because I was also trying to wrap my head around the concept. How do I announce to people that God is depending on you? It's an old gospel. It's not modern. In modern day teaching, people believe that the believer is supposed to arrive not useful for anything. That God actually saves to serve human beings. That's what the average new believer believes. He even believes that there was no human participation in his being saved. As though grace appeared and he stuck to you without you acting in faith. You are here because he has a need. He has tried to find replacements. But his intentionality in coming after you all the time is proof that he has not found a substitute. The cry this evening is that you can't keep him waiting. You can't keep him waiting. There are more things he wants to do and he must accomplish this one. There is a company that he wants to save and he has chosen you to be the one that will save them. He doesn't always come in the similitude of Acts chapter 9. He doesn't always come with a light and then with a voice. He has been speaking to you that yes, I have labored to perfect my own side of this work. Because when I walked out this afternoon, he showed me Ezekiel chapter 37. And he said to me, he said, son, after the order of Ezekiel chapter 37, I have perfected the protocols for the emergence of an army, but the army is not standing. What did he do in Ezekiel chapter 37? It was a twofold prophecy. One was to gather bones to bones, and he has perfected it. and to cover them with sinuses. Because the loss of Adam was a garment of glory that he wore. And in redemption, he has covered you again. But you were lying lifeless on the ground. And there was a second prophecy that came. And by the strength of that prophecy, breath has entered you. You are alive. If you don't believe, you need to take a study of Ephesians chapter 2 to find out that one of your expressions is that you are a quickened man. You were once dead in your trespasses, but he has quickened you. And God is saying, what more should I do? How long? We are like a generation that has been marked to waste. And even though we show the signs of existence as the kind of men that God will use, because we are badless, God waits. How long will it take to be willing? Somebody saying, I'm willing. Can you compare the outworkings of your life with instructions in your notes? Can I become a little bit petty? The things that God has told you to do, how many of them have you done? But I'm willing to do what? So my brothers and sisters in the choir can say, we are willing, at least we are serving. I'm saying serving and willingness are not the same thing. Because blessing, beyond this singing ministry that you are doing, did Jesus call you to singing ministry? Good. So it means that this singing will attract wages. But there's something he sent you to do that will attract rewards. Are you with me? Because from age 6, I joined a choir in this same city. And I was not a bad singer. It was people like Mr. Taiwo that killed my style in the choir. Because, you know, they sing better. Yes. I was like the star of every group that I joined. Until I approached and I said, oh, now let's enter into the gospel music arena. And because I had fellowship ongoing, there were sounds in fellowship that were downloaded. And so I spent another five months in trying to clean up my song. And then I was going to the studio about 5 times every week for 7 weeks to work a 4-track album. Why did it take that long? It was because I was bent on not releasing songs that had no spiritual essence. So if we rehearsed all night and it looked as if it sounded well, I tried to transport with the sounds and I said, the spirit didn't come today. So let's not use this one. So some nights when we come, we stay all night in tongues. And if it's not strong, we'll not sing. 7 weeks. I had no time to go to the studio. But he told me, ask from people. Shebi, that's what you want to do. And then he gave me favor along the lines of an assignment that he was not willing to be part of. So people gave me a lot of money. And I paid every last dime that was required to do the recording. I had virtually the best guys around to work on the album for me. There were guys that will not put through prayer drills, but they prayed. We knew something big was going to happen. We had pictured a launching day. We had already started speaking to some people to launch on our behalf. And then 2 days before the final copy will be out and then we must produce, the one who commissioned me said, if you go back to that studio, I said, what happens to the song? Let it die there. Ha! I said, okay, me I understand, but I collected money from people. He said, I opened the doors of their heart for favor. I can also close it in forgetfulness. And so none of them has come to meet me to say, oh boy, we will give you money for recording. Not one of them has called me a thief. Maybe in their heart. But Jesus said they will close their hearts in forgetfulness. They won't ask. You will not be known as a gospel singer. I have put my words in your mouth. You will teach my word. Emmanuel, what if you came to Lautec? Because I'm not sure if will Emmanuel have been in Lautec that time? Were you around when I was doing my recordings? Was Emmanuel your set? after you. Okay, it means you are not in land. You will have heard that, see, there's one guy who just released 3 tracks. That Idiebube was one of the songs. And God will now, maybe after 6 years of being in school, God now took you to heaven and showed you what I will become, what I was supposed to become. That hidden in the choir boy was a preacher of the gospel. What would you have felt? You see, even if you had the album, you would have thrown it away. That guy wasted life. Wasted but applauded life. This is not a call to quit what you are doing, but it's that everybody was allocated a major and a minor. And God is standing around your major and saying, I need a man. Thank you for the many things that you do, but my kingdom is suffering because you have not stepped into what I sent you to do. Are you willing? Many of us find it very easy around the minor, because the minors in our lives, they thrive by ability. Are you with me? So I began to sing because I could sing. Are you with me? I'm saying that, you see, you will be most times reluctant to enter into what God really wants you to do, because when you look into yourself, you will have no ability. And that will be the first battle around willingness that you will fight. That if I step into that area, I'm going to be shamed. I don't have the capacity. But you must yield, saying, if it be you, bid me to come. That's where I want to close this one. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Can God harvest more willing people in this meeting today? People who will live by the writings of God. I know what you said to me. I know the land you told me I was going to take. I have looked inwards. I have not found capacity. But I will believe you and I will step out. It's a time to sign up. It's a time to sign up. I will step out. I will step out. I will not be afraid. I am after the sword of my father Abraham. You said, get out, and he stepped out. You said, take the son, your son, the one that you love, and sacrifice him to me on a mountain that I will show you. And even though he had no future, no other key to the future in view, he obeyed. Our willingness will be foundationally advertised in how much we are willing to suffer in obeying God. I would rather fail at what you have called me to do than live another man's life. I yield. Oh, that asile kabarato vakata. Ekapotebo moska pevenato pariakato. Ilanto kata babaska pata. Evata bendo katiatamo. Mates kabarotia kataba. Lepate kaban sokane montande braheta. Ela papate sate papaya. Ivake patia kabraske take motate. Somebody say, Lord, tonight I approach again unto the books. I approach again unto the books to view the writings that were sponsored in my secret place, and I will begin to live by them. I will not be afraid. I will hold back no longer. I will go to the place that you have sent me. I will stand in the place that you have put me. And I'm all cut up. I will say the things you have sent me to say. I will sing the song that you have put in my spirit. I will heal the sick that you have empowered me to heal. I will take the lands that you have empowered me to take. I am willing. Oh, Saitome Kometalia Kabai. If it be you that spoke, Lord, bid me to come. Tonight you can depend on me. You have empowered me. for this day of your dependence. And Lord, I will soar by your power. He's saying Eloni may be difficult, but it can be taken. It can be taken. That city can be brought to our knees. Victor is saying to you that Aedet can be strong, but you can prevail. I am willing. Oh, Sandomano tete fataliata. Ababone sete me manta. Ila pipaile teme mokatae. Angrakata be mante. Efanitande made parasataya. He chose you because the one that came before you failed him. David, you have been anointed. You have been anointed. In this season, he summons you to mount your throne. Oh, Jesus. Hagamo kaila mahamo satelada. Ifinanamo telamambaratolia sata. Asibabate komtebamo. Ekaskata labranta komitande. He depends on you. He depends on you. Can you hear him calling? Oh, Kambobosata. Can you hear him calling? He's saying, I depend on you. Oh, Kimama Makamosa. I depend on you to bring down the enemy. Teneme Makatabai. Oh, to bring down the enemy. Eyata, I depend on you. My child, I depend on you. Etemo, the Sande Tete, Epelekaton Basata, Reta Pato Capata Sosa, Saiteta, Saiteta, Sa. Can we lift up our hands tonight? Just lift up your hands and say, Lord, tonight I yield. I yield. I yield. Oh, I call him on mata. Kandia baraka bose. We yield. We yield. Send us help from Zion. Here and now. Where the light. We as free as the light, like the rays of the sun, running to every corner. We are up ahead, and the world has got to follow. We are not afraid, for we'll never ever know defeat. We are the generation.
We are the generation. We live ahead of our time. We live in this world.
We live in this world. But by the power of the end.
Oh,
oh, oh.
We are the fire.
Everyone is got to follow.
We are not afraid.
We are not afraid.
But we never ever know.
We are the generation.
We are the generation. the edge
by
to come.
The power of the edge to come.
Whoa. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So we say yes, yes to your will. I say yes, yes to your will. I say yes.
Before we move ahead, I want to give an altar call. It's not everybody's call. It's not a call to give your life to Christ. It's not a call to rededicate yourself to fellowship. But it's a call to re-enter into your destiny. You know it. You know it. That there are many things that your life currently brings forth in the service of God, but in the place where God has called you to stand, there is still a gap. And you want to say, Lord, this life of not bringing you utmost pleasure, I seek to exit. If you are willing, oh God, I am willing. You can come down the aisle and we'll pray together so that I can continue. When you come, you can kneel. It's not everybody's call. You see, life becomes... Now, listen. So that is you don't miss the call. I'm saying that you are not looking for what he wants you to do. You you have a list of the things that he has told you to do. You know the place. It may not be your utmost place, but there is a place where he has called you to stand, and he has been waiting on you. That's what who this call is for. As you arrive, I want you to pour your heart out to Jesus. Now, if you're listening online or watching online, it's a sober moment. The gates into the place of destiny is what God wants to open in this season. You know who you were designed to be, but you have done every other thing but that which Jesus died for you to come into. And you are saying, Lord, let it be tonight. Let it be tonight. Oh, Jesus. The rest of the church, you can pray for them. You can pray for them. It's a gate of mercy. Now, there's a sound that God is running in my spirit, and it was the utterance of God to Samuel. He said, I have mourned for Saul for too long. Arise, pick thy horn of oil, and anoint me a king among the sons of Jesse the Bethlehemite. You were summoned because somebody has failed. How can you also fail? Hey, come Baba Katonia. Songri Haganeto Kohato. Lord, you have called me so that you can depend on me. And tonight I'm saying, I am willing. It may come with tears, it may come with pain, but I will live for you. Send us help, oh God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, mercy has prevailed tonight. And I ask of you that you will freely open the gates into the place where you have called them to stand. You have depended on some to stand as intercessors, to stand as saviors, to stand as deliverers. Some of these ones that are kneeling before you are not men in the spirit. They are sounds, they are voices. I ask, oh God, that your divine essence, which they were designed to steward, will be recovered in this season in the name of Jesus. They have come because they have reasoned that natural life is a gift to make established a divine agenda. They have come because they have reasoned that it is not right to come into another day in the earth when the days of heaven have not found fulfillment. We ask of you that in mercy, you will re-anoint, you will re-instruct, and the supplies of your spirit that accompany men who have stepped into destiny will begin to attend to their lives. Let that which discourages be banished. Let that which belittles be silenced. Some of them were sent not to labor alone. I ask that the ones that you have chosen to accompany them, like Silas to Paul, like Aaron to Moses, in this season, will be met and will be known. Thank you, Father. Because the land will be filled with your intentions on the strength of the recovery of these ones. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen. You can rise. You can rise. God bless you. God bless you. All right. You may be seated. In the day of thy power. Let me begin this way. There are special communications of the Lord that are designed to give definition to his workings in the earth. What I'm saying is that God does not and will not do anything in the earth without visiting one in the earth with a special communication. The design for divine activity is not that it meets everybody surprised. That's what I'm saying. That somewhere, God will have found one in whose heart he will preserve the counsel that births his activity in the earth. What I'm saying is that we are not all deaf. Are you with me? There are two prayer points we need to pray before we join. Because if you will only be hearing from my lips as regards the movements of God in this day of power, then it may be that you are not numbered in those that will participate in the activity that we attend to this day. There must be something that God is saying to you, and that communication is received as a token that you are numbered in those that God will work with. Are you with me? When God was going to quench the darkness in Sodom and Gomorrah, he needed to stop by in a certain man's house to implicate his heart with his burdens for purity in the earth. A sound has come to me, and I've found out that the earth has sustained a state of misalignment. I took the initial people out because of this thing. I wiped them out with water. Unfortunately, by the sacrifice of one man called Noah, I can no longer do what I did, but I have flames. And I won't start again from scratch, because even the man that he started with still had corruption in him. He planted a vineyard. He got himself drunk, and became naked. And the Bible says to us that one of his sons saw him naked and went to report to his brethren. And then out of the man that was preserved from the flood came a curse that did not impact the man who sinned, but his son. Are you with me? It meant that the signs, the expressions of the fall of man survived the flood of Noah. That's what I'm saying. So God was not willing to destroy everything again. He decided to do selective destruction. Let me just take out Sodom and Gomorrah so that I leave a witness in the earth, but I can still punish iniquity. But he could not get it done without branching in Abraham's house. He saw it as though it was criminal to do something without telling his friend. A generation happens upon all of the workings of God by surprise when the friends of God become scarce. In your family, Isaac, we and two of us know that all these things, Jesus will win. He has even won. But have you found out that it looks as if you are the one who is burdened to pray over those silences? It means that God has not only chosen you as an intercessor, he has chosen you as a messenger. And one of the signs that you are that special messenger in that home is that you will be a candidate for the reception of special messages. God will begin to bring certain conversations to you that the others will not be privy of, because he has chosen you as his man in that home. So when things happen in that home that catch you unawares, you need to evaluate your appearance in the secret place. I'm about to introduce to us an Old Testament saint whose walk with God gifted him the privilege of not only hearing about the things that God wanted to do globally, but the privilege of eavesdropping a conversation that only expressed within the Godhead. There was no angel that eavesdropped that utterance. It was God the Father speaking to God the Son about the deployment of God the Spirit and the emergence of a people. When the prophetic dimension only communicates the things of men, that third generation needs to begin to cry out a woe. It means that God has not found men to whom he can give the privilege to approach unto him in secret, so that he can communicate things, the things of God, to them. You know, it's common to meet a man who is prophesying the things of men, who can tell you what is in your house and what you ate yesterday, who can tell you what will become of your natural life, but cannot spy into God's agenda for your life because he was not given admission to come that far. My comfort is that I've found out in scriptures that in every generation, God himself labored to produce a man who will pick those conversations. It means wherever he finds a yielded man, he gives that man certain tools of communication that make that man express as his friend. There are two things that every friend of God has. It is what the Bible refers to as the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Activate. I don't know if I shared it here. I've been studying some things around the prophetic, especially because I've been praying for the nation, and I know that there's a burden to communicate as the Lord is speaking to me. And I found out that the advantage these friends of God have over the natural man is not a possession. All of us have the hearing ear. All of us have the seeing eye. Are you with me? But when we were born, before we began to fellowship with God, our hearing ears and our seeing eyes were gifted different frequencies. Frequencies through which God was not transmitting. Now, you know, if you are 101.5 and you are, and maybe that's the do they still have radio in Nigeria? It still works. Okay. So let's assume that Radio Nigeria is 101.5 and it's October 1. One of the things that will happen on October the 1st on Radio Nigeria at 7 a.m. is what? There should be a fellow Nigerians broadcast. That's how they always start. It's only on those good occasions that will become fellows. I was telling them in the lawn yesterday, trying to teach government, that there is a kind of government that we refer to as democracy. It's called the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But at the Nigerian experiment, until now, that God has intervened, used to be the government of some people, by some people, and for some people. That Nigeria fits into that literature text called The Animal Farm. How many of you have read Animal Farm before? That the rule in Animal Farm is that all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. So I saw a news item this afternoon, how an NURTW coordinator in one state that is in this direction decided, because he had a presidential candidate that he loved, they decided to print a very big sticker, a very big campaign sticker, and started forcing every transporter to, one, buy that sticker and paste it, to paste that sticker on their vehicles. But the sticker will not even come free. You need to contribute to the campaign, buy it for $500. So one man said, see, you brought council speaker, then you brought another one that we don't even know where that one is going to. He said, but If we don't want to support a candidate, should we paste his campaign sticker on our vehicles? It's a cheap way to campaign. Let me not teach what I want to teach, but let me say in passing, because I said it during the last election, if you want to win in your ward, you want to become a council, do they know you? What state are you from? Osun. Do they know you? They don't know you. You can win the councilorship role. You don't need to give anybody any money. Just invest in posters. You wear them out by seeing it. Make sure you employ people. Let them overpaste your posters. As they are tearing, you are pasting. As you are tearing, you are pasting. There's a way the heart works. It is conditioned by sight. After a while, the people will be, you know, this guy is fine. And you know you're fine for. So it may just be about he's fine. No. Some people will vote for you because they feel, let's even pity this guy. He has been bringing poster. So what they do is they put it in everybody's face. And I was telling my wife, if that thing continues, it means after a while they can start giving t-shirts. So you must wear this t-shirt. And you pay to support somebody you don't want to support. That's an animal. That's the animal farm expression. In the middle of all of that, there must be people who can pick the counsel of God. And I'm going somewhere. Unfortunately, every one of us is provisioned with the twin tools of receiving these special messages, even in dark times. But the friends of God have an advantage, and I said it's not that they have what we don't have, it's that the advantage is in an experience they have had that we want to pray for. I have led prayers many times asking God to give us the hearing ear and the seeing eye. How many of you have prayed that prayer in any of our meetings before? And I want to come back to apologize, because those two, so what are you doing there? You know, you see. The gates that somebody has joined us in, even though God put him in another place, and we just finished praying. Was he part of that prayer? He was part of the prayer. Did he come out here? So let us behold the man who joined us in, even though, you see, he joined us in. And he knows that God has sent him to me as redemption. Because Emmanuel's energy is that his guitar, but he has sold it. Abi? Eh? He has sold it. God will help us. You know I can drum small. How many of you have seen me drum before? Even in this big winner's church, I played drum before. It's just that I know just three beats, and any song you sing, you must sing into my beats. What if I joined the instrumentalist group, and you woke up one day and saw what I'll become? You will see what will happen to the service now. You will see now. Oh, what? So Emmanuel, be bringing the guitar now. I'm saying that the advantage of the friends of God is that they have an experience that we have not had. So to have prayed that prayer would have been wrong. Because I found out that the hearing ear and the seeing eye were built into our shape. It was built into every man. The eyes that the wicked used to see is the seeing eye. But they understand that when man fell, those facilities became dead unto God. The facilities became needy. They were needing a spirit to power them. And because they found the contrary spirit, that spirit began to run the eye. So a babalawo sees with the seeing eye. When he does like this, like they do in Yoruba film, is the hearing here is summoning. And all the spirit needs to do is to occasion the same experience that the friends of God have come into. Because every time that experience happens, this hearing ear and the seeing eye, they are networked with a frequency of transmission. And whatever that spirit is saying, they can hear with ease. It's the experience of healing. Somebody say healing. So, what do we mean by healing? What's the process of healing? Anybody? If somebody was sick, are you fine? You are catching good. You are good in Jesus. You are good. You are good. This is a good example of what I'm teaching. That you may not be feeling too fine, but you will still be at your post. I don't need to tell you if I'm feeling fine. If I've been preaching since Sunday, I don't need to tell you if I'm feeling fine. When I got back to Ilorin yesterday afternoon, you went to pick my wife. God bless you. I was supposed to start preaching by 5. The program was from 4:30. When I looked at the clock on my phone, I saw 5:07. Because what I was trying to do was to study. And then where I dropped my head, I slept. So the people in the meeting, they were wondering, it's not coming again, it's not coming again. But I had to sleep because I was tired. I was really tired. And you know, the week has just started. So it means that. But you don't run away from your post because you are tired. You stay there. Because in your post is where your strength lies. I said, what does the process of healing entail? Healing is one of God's four ways of administering the spiritual reality called restoration. So when somebody is not well, when God heals him, what God does is that he takes that man to a default state where nothing was wrong with that person. Are you with me? So when God heals your hearing and heals your visions, what he does is that he takes you to that plane before the fall, when it was easy to connect with the frequencies of God. I've come to see that if this day of the power of the Christ was introduced by the ministry of or by the activity of a man who had experienced healing strong enough to be able to eavesdrop what God is saying, then there will be nobody who will be able to adequately participate in the operations of this day of power if you have not been restored into the shape of the man who communicated it. Are you with me? If it was possible in the Old Testament to pick the heart of God, if you have not been provisioned to pick the heart of God, you will not be able to perfect what started by picking the heart of God. So I said to them in the Lord yesterday, you are blessed. My wells are open. I said to them in the Lord yesterday that the reason why you will only thrive in this kingdom by sacrifice is that your entrance into the kingdom was by sacrifice. Are you with me? You will only thrive in this kingdom if you know how to die many times, because it was death that brought you into the kingdom. Are you with me? If the death of a will, not my will, your will be done, was the statement that opened the way of the cross, then you cannot say, I will have it my way. Believers who say, I will do what I want to do, will not touch the strong parts of this kingdom. They will live in the peripheral dimensions, because a will died to make it happen. A will must die to maximize it. We want to plead with the Lord, because his people cannot be willing if they can't receive his instructions. Are you with me? Jesus took out 7 churches in the in the second and the third chapter of the book of Revelations, and he was bringing forth his counsel to them. But you see, the declarations could not bring alignment. Check. The fact that he said it to the angel did not mean that it will impact them. Beyond that declaration, he had to give them a line through which he was going to secure them in alignment. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. 7 times in 2 chapters, he made that statement. Because he didn't say, he that could not hear, let him ask for an ear. He was appealing to them that, I know you have the facility, but now you must labor to see it activated. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear. The transition between possession and activation is a simple prayer. You will ask the Lord, heal my hearing. Obedience does not happen if instructions cannot be perceived. Am I right? So if you say, Lord, I will obey you, but you are in a place where you don't know what he wants you to do, it means that you can't be obedient without being instructed. You want to ask the Lord, like you have done for your friends, open my ears, heal them, heal my eyes. Let there be a restoration of hearing, a restoration of sight. I want to begin to see the things that define my participation in this day of your power. I want to begin to hear the things that define my participation. The proof that you have been numbered is that you can be instructed. Oh, heal, heal, heal. Let the damages of my former existence that have shot me away from your frequency, Lord, let them be far removed. In this day I hear. Oh, makato sane temo baba. I hear your voice, I follow your spirit. Sonatatum saitomi lobaratata. I have an ear, and by this healing protocol, I hear what your spirit is saying. There is that which men seek to communicate, but that which is important in this season is what your spirit is saying. And my ears are healed. I am restored into your frequency of transmission. Olatatom shamino baton tamberata batetone batetosta poriata papotam to baratoa. I kapa papa kotomen tone nota basi pelohoti. Oh, I find that frequency. I find that frequency. I find that frequency. I reconnect by the administration of your healing power. Oh, takope atata, petakata kebokato atakara, sante babota, sada bebe pietele. Epele tominato pesa parata atepande dokteskotaka bai rekatika tane babrakatosia sate dabai he that art and hear. Let him hear. It began with hearing, and it will continue by hearing. Lord, we connect. Sonetata beta. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I hear you, I hear you, I see you. Ikele kokete sokato kokota, rikele kite bakate teke sotelate. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. John chapter 16 verse 14. John chapter 16 verse 14. Heal my hearing. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Ghost, said he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and he shall shew it unto you. There is a functionary that God has assigned to manage his communications. And as a second prayer point, we want to align with the transmission of the Spirit. Listen, listen. I have been preaching in the last few weeks stronger along these lines than before, that when you received Jesus into your heart, it was a personal reception. And you owe your personal spiritual growth. You owe your yourself, because you were allocated personal expressions of the Christ beyond the general. You owe yourself the duty to find your comfort zone in spirit communications. You must find it. There is a way he speaks to me that he will never speak to you. Are you with me? And so you must become a student of the patterns of the communications of the Holy Spirit. When I say there is a way, I don't mean that beyond dreams, visions, trances, perceptions, and not of voices, whether audible or just in the heart. I'm not saying beyond those channels that there are many other channels. I'm saying that there is a combination of, there is an atmospheric combination that allows the voice of the Spirit to be heard by you. In Genesis, the visitations of God were captured within the context of a time frame that was referred to as the cool of the day. What the Bible did not give us the privilege of knowing was the combination of realities that produced that day. Maybe if Adam had stayed long enough by the study of patterns, he would have known what and what and what and what. I'm saying that because God wants to be known by you, his coming to you is not haphazard. But we need to labor to know when. I was sharing some time that I still do my laundry myself now. Not because people are not willing. I know some people in the house don't even wash their clothes. It's a washerman or washerwoman that gets it on. It's because I found out that when my hands hold cloth and we rub them together, there is a portal that opens, a portal of communication. It has been like that before I got married. So marriage has not collected the washing of clothes from me. Even though my wife is willing and many other people are willing, I have stayed with that protocol. We have had too many people come to the house, not even church members. People just walk around looking for what to do. To say, sir, do you have clothes that we can wash? I tell them, what's the real problem here? So we need to do something so that you can pay us. Okay, it's money. Okay, I will give you what Jesus has given me, but I will not allow any man to steal my potter. He comes when I wash clothes. I have found out that when I pick my own songs to sing them, he doesn't come. But when as a waiter, I allow him to give me his own songs, his songs, the giving of his songs, and I don't mean spooky sounds. I mean they may be literal songs. Old choruses, new choruses. He just plays a line in my heart. And then I quickly download the song and begin to listen to it. Every time he sends a song, those songs come as an advance party. It means that it's come. So he needs a vehicle, an earth moving vehicle or equipment to clear the way. So that's what that song comes to do. As that song comes, no matter the thoughts of my heart, that song comes with the power to be able to focus my thoughts on God and God alone, so that as his consciousness grows, his person will begin to speak. You must find your own path. The fellowship of the Spirit is the habitat where the communications of God can be heard. Remember what I said before? If you cannot hear him, it means that you cannot participate in what he's doing. You were not called to mirror a man, Emmanuel. You were called to mirror the Christ. It means in mirroring the Christ, there will be an aspect of the Christ, of the activity of the Christ, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. That's your part in the work. The day of power is everybody's day, but we are not all going to be doing the same thing. Are you with me? You must find what you have been called to do. When I come to teach tomorrow, but are you traveling tonight? So come to church tomorrow. Or you have come back? Okay, you just came for contact. My good boy. So, when I come tomorrow, I will show you that one of the glories of the day of power is that God will show up in, will manifest his people in their unique features, so that the enemy will not be able to lock us behind gates. Because if you felt that we are all foot soldiers, and you decided to build a wall, some of us will be provisioned to fly. And because of flight, God will still prevail. So we will be unique. I'm saying that in this one choir, beyond singing in parts, everybody will have a characteristic sound. Your natural voices may sound the same, but in the spirit, you will strike different chords and you'll be able to deliver different things. That in case there are four people singing, we may find out that the reason why they were put together as inspired by God was that you need to weave an equipment in the spirit, and you need the four essences that they communicate. It's a day of uniqueness. So you must hear your unique instruction. We want to plead that we be aided into fellowship. That's the second prayer point. There is a way you lure me. Make my heart open to that luring. Can you plead with him? I know that I'm focused on so much, but there is a way you distract me. That's what I mean by luring. There is a way you distract me. There's a way you distract me. Just like there's something that your friend wears that you can no longer resist looking at them, that you know how to distract me, how to pull me out of my business and plant my feet in the place where you can be heard, where you can be seen. Oh, help me, Lord. Tole kakene katolia kabara. Satekate epapa kapatiko basketu kataine kadiata. Taba ketombi kikato. Etomomo donde constantai. Equato caparato kembobopoto. Ekatos kempinetaya. Aitaba bate los canto lembratos kapa. E fatape pante. Lord, lure me. Lord, lure me. That which I traffic with will not be stale. There is a now communication that needs a now distraction. Take me out of activity. Put me in the plane where you can be heard, oh God. Aiga kalatoria. Sataka katamreto akatwa. Abulantole, abolate monda, ablesando babata, ebatelonta bemode, ebatabre dostanta poviataba. We thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Because tonight you are healing hearing. Tonight you are healing our sight. Thank you for the tools of perception that you have given. Tools that began to experience animation in the day we became born again. Tonight we ask for total restoration. That beyond the things of men, we will begin to hear the things of God. We will begin to see the things of God. That which defines our participation will be apprehended by this healing protocol. In the name of Jesus. Let the rat race that expresses itself as competition die. As every one of us, by the receptions of these special communications of the Holy Ghost, we find our place in you.
So speak from the heavens and the earth. So speak and the young cat katidu katagalali vekesu katal. Come now, to Spunta Kutalia, Ranto Copodia Kesufeta, Viki Kaba. Oh, speak from the heavens, Atelabanato Kutala Kaba, Katigombonde Kaboronde Kasanta Kabada, My altar is calling you. The coco me meme no de. I is to tate to do not a tatua sata. The to delay to content for Korea de diva. Ayagabo ketado. We got give up a diki nose. Vikita kapatukuti akatado. The coto combinado. Kekan de babi kapano lakima. Mate katoli gebada katos. Escanto kibuka tatongria tata ranamaka bamba takanda papa e kapata kapeno betoa ya sekene note atemeno kota baskante manote bate tabi ata stada lo tande pia reta banone monte itande sita tata paia tame monte my altar is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you. Hey, no, 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 no. My altar is calling you. My altar is calling you. Oh God, my altar is calling you.
It's a sound that validates your recruitment, and tonight he begins to speak. He begins to speak in this day of his power. He begins to speak. Katombo, katoko katomo karo da 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 da. Esandu kaido lete pe koto mokata ataka papariate lota efate nate meno kapayas. He speaks. He speaks. He speaks. He speaks. He speaks. But there is none deaf amongst us. We are the company of the healed, and so he speaks, and we hear. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. You see, there are songs that you must not sing until you have experienced God. To ask God to speak from the heavens when your hearing has not been healed is a waste of time. If your phone, the speaker on your phone or the earpiece of your phone is defective, it will be wrong to tell your friend to call you to tell you something important. What you should say is, send me a note. It is because the intentions of your friend will end in futility because the device is defective. You see, people have converted prayer to a monologue because their testimonies out of prayer is that they did not hear anything. That you did not hear does not mean that God did not speak. Sometimes all you need to ask for is, heal my hearing. Restore it. Restore it. Restore it. One of the things that was freely given to us was the fellowship or the activation. Yes, the activation of our tools of perception. It was a free gift. It was a free gift. That was Jesus' utterance to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. To claim that you are born again and you cannot perceive is an error. You must cry for healing. Let's journey a little bit further. Many times when I'm given the privilege to preach from this scripture, I have tried to labor to gift men the CV that defines the capacities of this man called David. But because I've done it too many times, I just want to tell you that in case you are trying to labor in the Old Testament and you are looking for a man who in the offices that he occupied, he mirrored most closely the Christ, you will need to sit with David. Because somebody here may be saying, how can a king have the ears of a prophet? David left a caveat in the spirit that you see, your core office does not divorce you from the realities of picking on the communications of God. He was officially anointed as a king, but by consecration, he unlocked the ways of the priesthood. Are you with me? He found a way of purifying his mortal body into a... And if David is put on your scale of purity, he might fail. Are you with me? Pastor Diola, I know you read the Bible very well. Will you mark David as equal, as meeting requirement if you put him on a scale of purity? When the man died, they were not sure he had died. They had to look for a damsel, a very fine one. Say, sit with Baba. And they saw that, because David would have reached out for any fine damsel around him. They found out that David did not respond. It was as though that was his most dominant sign of being alive. How did he become a man after the heart of God? His life bore the signs of one in pursuit of purity. That's why you have the whole of Psalm 91. You could retire to it, in pursuit of purity. Are you with me? But though he had struggles with purity, his consecration was secure. Am I confusing you? If you are confused, wave your hand. Okay. I have used one example, and I think that example is a comfort zone. It is that in my biological family, like many other families, in the regular Nigerian family, no matter how thirsty you are for tea, there are cups you must not use to drink tea. Not because the cups came expensive, but because the cups were launched into activity with a dedication. The cups were called Daddy's Cup. How many of you have Daddy's Cup in your house? It's good. Even as young as I am, with this my few gray hairs, when I go home, I still don't drink tea from his cup. Two of us are gradually becoming two gray-haired men. You know, he has gray hairs already. I'm already. The last time I went home, he looked at me and said, this thing is happening on your head. I don't know why. Maybe it's too many challenges, and I don't know. Or maybe it's just a gift of God. But whichever one is, the Holy Ghost is up to the task. We'll still be here for a very long time. And in health. In health. How did I get here? The concept of Daddy's Cup. So, many times on a normal day, because my daddy does medical practice like as minister. He believes that like Jesus called this boy to preach, Jesus also called him that by the understanding of medical science, he brings healing and wholeness to bodies. He has a second combination. He also does spiritual labors. In that, in case they find out that your sicknesses are not medical, they are not physiological. He can bring a spiritual solution by the energies of the Holy Ghost. So he does all of that. Sometimes his table becomes a marriage counseling table. Especially if a man brutalizes his wife, while he treats the wounds, he begins to cast the picture of Jesus as the prototype for a husband in the home to the man. That the reason why you are like this is, first, is that you don't know Jesus. Say, I know him, I'm a Christian. Say, you don't know him. Because if you know him, you will know that your life was designed to mirror him. Or we see a man who brutalizes his children. He teaches that you are supposed to be the image of God, so that when your children are trying to learn fatherhood, the God that they cannot see will be expressed through you. That's the burden of an earthly father, is to bring accurate perspective to the fatherhood of God. Brothers, it's a whole job. Giving birth to a son and being called a father are two different things. That's why the Englishman invented the word daddy. I don't know what it means. I've been taking my son to school since Monday. And Monday evening I had to preach in Ilorin. But I drove from Ilorin early to take him to school again yesterday morning. And I drove from Ilorin this morning to still take him to school. Because if I am this close, I don't think another person should help me take him to school. He's stressed, but I enjoy it. One of my most exciting moments yesterday was when we drove to the school and I pressed the horn outside. He picked the horn inside and he was already screaming before I came. I had the joy of being a responsible father. Today he was viewing through the window. So I was walking in front. Immediately he saw me, he pulled the door and ran. Don't laugh at him. It took some of you 1 month before you stopped crying going to school. So let the young man arrive. Let him arrive. So I'm saying that cup. So on Sundays we have the privilege to eat, because other times we are eating together and his patients come and he runs to go and treat them, and he may not come back for hours, so the rest of us have to continue eating. But on Sundays after church we sit down together, and many Sundays is bread, tea and egg, you know. So when we finish eating, it's the job of we as children to congregate the plates, and then we gravitate towards the kitchen and put them in the sink for a later time to wash them. One of the items that begins to pursue purity, like David, in the sink, is this hallowed cup that we refer to as daddy's cup, because it bears the stains of tea. Are you with me? So that if a visitor came and we had run out of cups, that cup will not qualify as a cup that the visitor will use. Even if daddy decides, now what I want to drink is Coke, that cup will no longer qualify, because it is in pursuit of purity. It means the cup is requiring sanctification, even though it is still consecrated to him. So the cup can be dirty, but it is still his cup. Are you with me? So I said that this man David will not have passed the modern day church test of a pure man. So that's Psalm 51, right? Psalm 51 is the story or the prayer of a man in pursuit of purity. However, God could still vouch for him that David is my man. I drink from David. So God still called him a man after his heart. Now when this consecrated man misbehaves, like when that cup is used to drink tea, what God does to David is that he punishes him. And so if you claim that Because I belong to God, the only fatherhood expressions of God is that He uses His hand to rub your head. Even as small as my son is, my wife will, that, my hand still cannot take it. My wife will look at him and say, if you don't sit down there, I'll beat you. And I say, he's still a small boy. Because I can't imagine myself beating him now. But he's used to his mommy's threats, and he would take dress. If you don't have those kind of expressions, it means that God has not received you. Because the chastisements of God, which have to do with His rebukes, an actual punishment, is to bruise your soul so that it can be fully recovered. Are you with me? If you don't have those motions, it means that your claims to be a child of God is false. Because God is not afraid to chastise those that He loves. Just like the proof that you have a true friend is that if that friend is wrong, you are not afraid to say, oh boy, you didn't do well, oh. Because you know that it's not about to walk away. When I'm careful to talk to you, it means I've not received you. Are you with me? And so those who are hoping that God says, come and submit to you, I'm a very hard man. The proof that I've received you is that I can rebuke you to crying. I have been gifted with words that you will not be able to say I abused you, but you will also not be able to say I did not wound you. May God give you understanding. There are simpler people who allow people to do anything they want to do. Because if you are under me, if you take a meeting, for example, for a wicked man, you may be on your way and you are entering the town, and I will tell you, if you belong here, go back home. Are you with me? I will not be careful to hurt you so that you will not die cheaply. That's my own. Because I will need to stand before God one day and say, you gave me this one. So me, his axe, I used to raise my sons. I used to cut them very well until there's no more flesh to cut. Because even when you have preached your best sermon, I will sit you down and make you understand you tried, but sinner. So who preached yesterday? Oriomi, I've not had time to listen to it. When I listen to it, he'll be afraid to preach the next one, I'm sure. Because I'll tell him, you did well. And when his shoulder rises, I'll now say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 things. I've not had time to see Lamide. I listed 12. 12 things. 12. But you are doing well. Now, so that was David. And because of consecration, I said, he unlocked the gate of priesthood, even though he was a king. Now, David did not express in two offices. He was also a prophet. Because you see, there is a devotion that a man can have to God. So it was by the anointing he was brought into kingship, right? By consecration, he unlocked the priesthood, and by devotion, he entered the prophetic. Emmanuel, if you become very devoted to me, it means you appear so, you are in my presence more than before. There will be some secret communications that you will begin to traffic with. I just said that we should pray that something that is going on between me and Papa should find perfection. Abi? But it's not everybody that received that utterance as a mystery. Some people know what I mean. Some of you in your mind, you think you know what I mean, but you are wrong. I know you are wrong. Because the possibilities I'm talking about, you can't think it will happen. But Oriomi came to the house, and don't go to ask him. If he tells you, I will not tell him another one. And I said, see what Papa is suggesting. Ha! It's good! It was because of devotion that he opened. So when Oriomi comes and speaks and says, Reverend said this thing, which is like the assignment of a prophet, to vocalize what he has heard, right? You'll be wondering, how did you get to know? It's not because he paid this way. Devotion gives a man access to the things that move in God's heart. If you find out what I'm doing tonight, I've not hit the topic. I'm trying to build around it, because whatever brings a reality is what will sustain it. It means that this man who will function in the day that most that David saw will be men who by the anointing will mount thrones, who by consecration will begin to gain mastery of the ways of the spirit, and who by devotion will become prophetic. Because if you hang around God long enough, you will pick the whispers of his heart. Are you with me? I'm beginning to introduce to us the characteristics of this genre of men. And if you want to take stock of the larger part of the church of the living God right now, there are not too many people like that. The ways of the spirit are largely unknown. And it's not because people are not praying. It's because what unlocks it is consecration. That a man begins to live for God and unto God alone. We have few devoted men. Because the God that the average person who goes to church serves is himself. The God he worships on Sunday is a means to achieving his own end. Are you with me? So when you arrange your in chemical engineering we call it a process line. When you arrange your process line, what ends your process line is what you are really serving. So if God is worshipped as a customer care executive so that he can get you something at the end, that thing at the end is your penultimate, your second to the last part of the process. What benefits from that process is the God. So you may be worshipping yourself. Because as a young lady, you may be worshipping God and serving in church so that God will give you a husband. So your husband is your penultimate part of the process. Who will benefit from the husband? You. So it means you're actually worshipping yourself. God is just, the worship of God becomes a bridge into a personalized pursuit. If you worship like that, then you'll be far from the prophetic. But if God becomes your end, that's the design of worship, that God becomes your end. And even if you slay me, or seem to delay me, I will never let go. I will never let go. Even if I'm lost,
even if I'm lost,
at any cost,
at any cost,
I will never,
I'll never let go.
Oh,
I will never let go.
I will never let go. And yes, I may be lost. Who has found the path of devotion. I know that you can say, that's their song. I have seen you say before, but if you choose not to save me, you are worth dying for. I know that you can deliver. I have seen you deliver before,
But if you choose not to deliver me, I will still follow you.
Now, as we are singing that song, I hope you know that that song is not a worship song. Because it does not contribute to the advertisement of God in any way. It actually tries to mute the potency of God. And he's saying, in spite of muted potency. Now, muted potency does not mean non-existent potency. I know that you can save, so you are a savior. But in case you mute your saving arm, you still have my followership. That's the sound of one who has found the way of devotion. And if you operate like that, you will swell in the prophetic, because God will be able to curate his secrets with you. A time must come when we understand that there are weighty statements in God that praying men alone, or men who pray alone, cannot hear. There are spices that prayer, that begin to attend to prayer, that actually open up a man to the secrets of God. And one of those spices is devotion. Because debt calleth only to debt. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? When you get married, your friends here will not know the color of your chest. But because your wife is willing to go so far as to abandon her father's name and take up your own, she owns a right. She comes into the privilege of beholding your nakedness. Nakedness is a trust. It's a trust. You don't give it to people you don't value. God will not. God will not. Show me your heart. Were there no prophets in Israel when this king was piping into heaven to hear these things? Were there no prophets? Don't overrate the office that you are in. Labor into the things that unlock the energies of that office. Because a prophet can begin to function like a beloved brother who possesses the gift of word of knowledge. I hope that you know that the office of the prophet is stronger than word of knowledge. But because of the absence of devotion, a titled man can be reduced. An apostle can become a storyteller, even though he was sent to be a revealer of the Christ. Because he has not found the way of devotion. That was how David gained this kind of access. And if the words came by this kind of access, the energies will also come by this kind of access. Oh, Lord, cause us to be many that we follow after you. Let's read that the whole portion again, and then let's see how far we will go. I preached on this subject too many times. And so every time I view this verse of scripture, the things I'm saying today, now I've not preached in that line before. I begin to plead with God to bring it to me anew. Because you have access to all my sermons. I mean all of them. Except the ones that were begging people to give us, and they don't want to give us. So I was trusting God for something new. And God built his discussion with me around the dynamics that occasioned this kind of narrative. Do you know that when this event was happening in eternity and David was eavesdropping it, Jesus had not, the Word had not experienced the incarnation. Are you with me? Mary had not gotten pregnant. Gabriel, the angel, had not visited in the sixth month. But David was able to go beyond the birth, go beyond the crucifixion, and he gave us a picture of what happened in the coronation service of Jesus. That they didn't call him out like King Charles and put a crown on his head. What God told him was, sit at my right hand until I make all thy enemies thy footstool. It was a posture that Jesus entered into, a posture that he only broke because a saint was coming home. It's for another day. Stephen was too precious. He could not be received by angels. He was the beginning of a new era, the era of dying men. And so Jesus had to rise, and the glory of God standing with him to say, we'll bring this man home, because he's the first fruits of a kind of man. Sit at my right hand. God had created from eternity a place where all of his realities will be stewarded. God was like, I spoke on Sunday, or I was like, I spoke on Sunday like God is, that there are things that I should not be doing again. There should be people in the right hand position where administration happens. Are you with me? There are reports I should be getting. I shouldn't be going to buy fuel for the generator. If the generator is going to cough, I shouldn't be worried about coming to church and the generator is jacking. It should be some people. It should be my worst sleepless night. Abina, I don't even know anything about photography, and I'm not sure I have asked who is going to snap on. Have I? Also, what's the roster for mounting this podium? If you live like that, you will die very early. God was willing to let some things go because he had found an accurate man to stay in that office. There is a place of desire to stand in the planes that God wants us to stand, but God will not lower his standards for the margins of men. Are you with me? If you want to know how Jesus got that high, you will need to go into the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippian church to know how Jesus entered into that place. It was that he possessed a mind. Give me Philippians chapter 2 and give me from verse 5. Let me show you how this day was fulfilled. Because there are words, it was prophecy. But the man Jesus aligned with all of the protocols to make sure that it happened. A day of power has been declared. It's not a new day. It's a day that is over 2,000 years old. Because 1/3 of that operation was perfected, the day was born. The day of the power of the Christ began on the day that in the upper room, the Holy Spirit invaded men. He found the first willing men. It was a prophecy to 500, but only 120 separated themselves from the feast. And like I'm speaking tonight, I pray that as we have heard the multitudes, in the day that he locally activates, we will not have fewer than those who heard it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So the mind begins to operate. It means the mind is not built around acquired positions or positions by privilege. The mind understands that servitude is how functionaries express. So is one with God. That's John 10:30. I and the Father are one. But he did not think it was his call to wrestle that position with God. He adopted the state of servanthood. No matter what God calls you, if you have not found the path of servanthood, you will not experience exaltation. God doesn't lift people by prayers. Check scriptures. Humble yourself after the mighty hand of God. And you see, the mighty hand of God is not a hand of power. The mighty hand of God is the tool with which God uses to prune and to mature his sons. It's a hand that expresses the dealings of God. That Bolu is the mighty hand that will quench your heart. If there's any altar of arrogance there, it's the mighty hand of God that will take it out. And the Bible, the apostles are saying to us that when God begins to deal with your excesses, be humble. Take correction. You don't understand that kind of thing. You know, you can be trying to correct somebody who is saying, "What is it, God?" If you say, "What is it, God?" under that hand, you stay long. Sometimes the hand appears as men. Are you with me? If it was God's hand, all of us will take it. Sometimes it appears as men. It comes to cure you of everything that will make the distributions of God that will come out of you have the scarrings of the flesh. That man of God is a powerful man. If you see how God moved, but he's arrogant. You see that kind of thing. He says, true, he can teach Bible, but he can lie next year's lie, can lie today. Those are the kind of scarrings. So God ensures that hand remains. It's a dealing that is designed for a time frame. And if you run out, you'll be an unfinished man. You'll be a scandal waiting to be heard. So the Bible says, humble yourself under his mighty hand, so that in due time, as transition says, in due season, what would he do? He will lift you up. That due season is not totally given to you to measure. The only participation in determining the duration of that season is that you yield. If you run out, you'll not be lifted. You'll be small forever, even though you have a big title. But if you stay, when your willingness meets God's readiness, he will prune you, and then he will display you himself. That's how he lifts men. He advertises men. I went to preach in a church, and I was telling them, he said, "Why did you invite me?" They say, "The leader said we know something." I said, "My fear was, your members don't listen to my kind of sermon. I'm a heartbreaker. I don't excite people." And he said, "You are surprised. You'll be surprised. See, everybody here listens to your sermons." And my wife knows. My sons in the house know. My daughter knows. That I have never lobbied for any preaching engagement all my life. Never. I have never used friendship. I have a few friends. I'm very few. If your friends are many, you don't know where you are going yet. There should be fewer as you lock into destiny. Are you with me? I'm not saying stop being friendly, but I'm saying your friends. I have never used friendship to gain a podium. You are my friend now. Let me come and preach for you. I will never till I see Jesus. I will not desire your podium. I will wait till Jesus says I should come there. And I've had few people I've ministered for who have called me to say, Reverend, thank you for coming. If you two have something to do in Ogbomoso, call us. And I've given them Apostle Gideon Ogboma's response. I appreciate you for inviting me, but Jesus has not revealed to me what contribution you want to make to my people, so I'll not invite you. And that's more diplomatic. Should I give you Apostle Gideon's response? He said to the man, "You invited me because your people need what God has given me, and I've not seen anything that you are doing that my people need." You know, that's so me. I found a softer version. You know, he's Baba. Me, I'm just learning. He can endure enemies. Me, I don't like enemies. So, you don't need to lobby. Stay under the hand. Let the utterance become flesh. It means the things you speak become a lifestyle. You'll be advertised. Are you with me? Can you whisper to your neighbor? Don't shout. Just say, stay. Let it sink. Stay. So, he did not wrestle with God. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. These are the signs of this group that Jesus is raising. This company of men who will rise. Because if you look at Psalm 110:1-3, the physicality of the day of power is men. Am I saying something? You won't see Jesus sitting on the throne on the day of power. You will not see the Holy Ghost coming as the rod that came from Zion. The only thing that the world will see is what? Is men. So when we teach on the day of power, we must labor around the requirements that we make men fitting for manifestation. It's a day of man's manifestation, the manifestation of the saints. So God will be at the back end. Like you press that green phone icon that is your symbol for WhatsApp. The face of what, like that green thing is the face of WhatsApp. Man, the saints are the icons in the day of power. When they click on us, then the energies will run from base and will be occasioned. It means that whatever God wants to do, that's why I preach that first sermon. If he doesn't find men, he will be willing, but there will be no show. So it's more about what God wants to do with us than what God wants to just do. But to qualify to become vessels that God will use to do what he wants to do, we will need to open up ourselves so that God does in us what makes us men that he can work with. He made himself of no reputation. He had reputation. People knew him. But when he shows up, they are wondering, is this the same guy that we have heard about? That's what Jesus looked like. He came so humble. He came so meek that a nation that waited for his appearance could not say he was the one. So you want to ride in his donkey that you came on again. So why were you not born into Herod's house? You were born into a family that could not afford a room. What the Bible said was there was no room in the inn. If you have slept in hotels before, you understand that statement. That when you come and they tell you there's no room, it means that they have evaluated you. Are you with me? If you press, they will say, the room that is available is 108,000. And even you will be ashamed that you pressed. You will have wished that. Say, I've heard people enter those conversations and say, you mean to sleep and wake up? It's 108,000. What kind of bed is that? It was you that exposed yourself to ridicule. When they said no room, it's because people at the reception are empowered to evaluate men. At least from a human perspective. So, he can't afford more than a 3,000. So say, you mean on the ground floor, there's somebody just moved out. Say, bros, there's no room. You mean some for people like you. Are you coming alone? Because they have looked at you that you will survive by peering. May God send us help. You see, my journeys have exposed me to some things. The rooms that are closest to the reception are everybody's room. But those ones that are tucked away, high up there, they are called no room. You walk in, they are trying to say, you must do this. Say, so just put your bag there. First, sit down. It's not for everybody. There are some people that as they come in, they carry their bags and they take them to the room. They have not paid. But they are not afraid that these ones will pay. It happens in cartoons too. You say, give me cow leg. If they tell you it's 2,000, no, it means I've evaluated you. That don't come and eat cow leg and be washing plate here. when Jesus had not totally taken authority over my finances, I remember I was in Lagos and I entered a shop. That time, that shop sold only original TM Lewin shirts. That time in 2010, the shirts were 7,500 each. I don't know how much it will be now. So you will know how much it will be now. It was 7,500 that time. So I entered the shop and I said, I want to buy shirts. And the young man, the young lady was even trying to show me these shirts are. And the young man said, you can't afford it. What? I was doing well in business. So I said, how much? He said, oh, guy, you can't afford it. Can buy shirt on the street. And if you are above my all over in Lagos, there are these office shirts that people sell. You know them. These shirts are already hanging, they are starched. Bankers wear plenty of them. If you have a banker friend, it's all of them that have money. Oh. They know where they buy their clothes. They buy shirts at Obafemi Awolowo. They buy suits in a place in Lagos. They call Mandilas. In Mandilas, the suits come looking new, but white men have worn them before. May God give you understanding. When you want to start ministry, that's where you go to. You know, your suits should be commensurate to fire. Don't wear a 100K suit and your whistle can't heal the sick. Yes. Emmanuel, I know you are into what I'm saying. They are laughing. You understand what I'm saying. I'm saying don't start with big clothes. I know where you can get nice colored ties in Lagos that are not expensive. It's only one white man that wore it. One white man. And they brought it. So it's, the tie is still looking good. That's where ministry starts. That's where most bankers buy from. May God grant you understanding. So I told the guy, I said 7,500. Give me 6. Well, unfortunately, there was no, you know, my body size is small. You imagine what I look like in 2010. There was my shirt size, because of my body size, it's even difficult to get matured shirts that are my body size. So these 6 shirts were not shirts to be worn, were just shirts to prove a point that you don't talk to me and tell me I can't afford something. I can sit in your shop and make enough money to buy that shop. I mean, just give me a computer. And I'm not a fraudster. Just give me a computer. I know what buying and selling to do, and the shop is gone. But Jesus humbles men. So be humble. When the mighty hand begins to work humility, a man suffers. I learned it. That Mandilas, that's how I got to know Mandilas. Because I could no longer enter his shop. Jesus, he was the one who sat at the table where they allocated who went to who. I mean that, Emmanuel, you became a child, the child of your parents, because Jesus wanted you there. It's under the ministry of the Lord God to deploy men from heaven. And in deploying himself, he sent himself to a carpenter's house. That's the back end of his making himself of no reputation. God will test it, because he will anoint you and people will hurt you, and you will think the next thing to do is to bring them down. If you do it once, it can cost you 2 years. The people who claim that God does not deal with people like that, they don't know God. Because the God of the Bible did not experience any change in that testamental. There's no different God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Are you with me? In the New Testament, he still chastises those that he has received. He made himself of no reputation. He was, Yorubas will say, he lessed himself. He reduced himself. His essence was in place, but That was what I was teaching last week as the denier of self. I know who I am, but I will not be public about who I am, lest I arrogate to myself certain privileges because of who I am. I was host to a minister in Ibadan last week, and I was trying to speak to him how I could easily get to him. Or maybe he felt I was bothering him, so he snapped. Pew, went off the phone. Hey! The thing touched my heart. Kai! Kai! I've not met Mr. before, but I was thinking, if I meet this guy, will he talk to me like this? 3 times I said, ah, God, it's me, oh, it's me, oh. Because my humanity began to react that, do people insult me like that? My heart now started thinking that it's not his problem. It's because he easily, I didn't give my number. He got my number from somebody and called me once, and I said, okay, I'll pray about your meeting, I'll come. It took time inside me. I knew that if they sent a vehicle to pick me, it would take about 30 to 40 minutes before getting to me, and another 30 to 40 minutes because of the hold up. So before I got to Iwo Road from Ife side, I was going to preach new. I dropped from the vehicle that was bringing me from Adrekit, and I boarded a bike. I was a guest minister. I know even Ibadan ministers will not board a bike to preach. Even younger ministers will not take a... Some of them will not even enter a taxi if there's an occupant there. So I boarded a bike, and it was on the bike I was trying to say, where should I come to? And the young man snapped on the bike. Ha! The first thing that came to my heart was, young man, go home. Go home. I won't tell you the rest of the story, because in that place, honor is not known. But it's not me that will teach it. It means that the thing is still in my heart, so I'll not talk about it again. I still feel slightly offended, so I'll not talk about it. But in that place, honor is not me. I feel a restraint in my heart because I was about to say something, and that thing I said will have programmed ministry for that person. So it stays. There's no love without, there's no power if you don't have restraint. But I felt offended. It was much. And the offense continued even after my session with them. And that's what is paining me. That I freely received offense 1 and 2 should mean that we won't do it again. But the offense has continued till even now. Anyways, Jesus made himself of no reputation. It means that I'm still in school. If he can still touch my heart, it means that he has not won. So I'm advertising to you that I'm still under the mighty hand of God. And that Ibadan event was a mighty hand dealing, so that I could receive a report sheet that you're not like your master yet. A pained will. I called my wife and said, see, I say it's me. Names now started coming in my heart that there are other ministers that are very popular, that if I call and say, come and preach in the promotion, they will not say no. They will cancel their meetings. I mean, popular people, that these people cannot treat the way I treat them. You know, man, easy to walk into minister. But let's continue. My heart is still one kind, so let's leave it. Made himself for no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So that if you approached him, you needed John to tell you, behold the lamp of God, because he was too human to be called a lamp. These are the things that Jesus had to go through to come into the right hand. I'm announcing that in the day of power, we're going to be functioning from the energies at the right hand of God. And if the one who sat there went through a protocol to sit, you will also need to go to a protocol before you can download those energies. So I'm giving us tonight a like for like label. David began by the anointing, and under the influence of the anointing, he mastered devotion and consecration. It gave him access to hear what you want to become. Jesus counted it not robbery. He was willing to walk away from a place of from a status, and then he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You will need to go through the same process so that you can come into where he is. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sacrifice. I ask this question many times I'm teaching on subjects like this. Is there any part of your life that is expressing this as sacrifice? How you spend money? Is there anything sacrificial about the way you spend money? I'm not saying be giving money to church. I'm saying is there anything sacrificial? Does your money serve everything that comes to your mind? Because that's one way to be sacrificial. Delayed gratification is sacrificial existence. That if you have 50,000 now, you have two shoes that are in your mind already. You want to buy this one and buy that one. You pass beside a boutique and you see one hooded top. Hooded though. Maybe it's even dry season. They don't wear hooded in dry season. You know hooded now. That's the t-shirts that have a hood on them. Yes. They don't wear it in dry season. It's soft. My son has cartoons where they wear hooded. And one of the icons in the cartoon is a monkey. So, sometimes when he sees somebody wear hooded, he goes, monkey, monkey. And then we're wondering, where is the monkey here? Until one day my wife said, that thing he used to watch, the monkey wears a hood. That's why, don't say this thing. Don't let people come and say, we're abusing them. That was just on the light side. But I'm saying that because the person likes it, he now says, God, if God just gives me money now, I'll go and buy it. So that when you search through your house, you find things that you bought because you just liked them, not because you needed them. I've not learned to well sacrifice. And that's a little place. Can you sacrifice the company of men so that you can be close to the Spirit? These are simple things. I'm not saying go and nail a wooden cross and be carrying it. I'm saying, is there any area of your life that shows that you are not a slave of your soul? Because your soul is where your will, your desires are cooked. Actually, in teaching the soul, we teach how many segments? Three, right? There are six, but let's stay with three. Because you have your emotions, your intellect, your will. You have your subconscious. You have your conscious segment. And then you have what you call your volition. Your volition is a factory where your desires are manufactured. Why you cannot desire some things is because in that segment called your volition, you were not wired to love those kind of things. Everybody likes pizza here. See, that means shaking your head. But some people are slaves of pizza. Abby. Even the ones that don't have Z and A there, you know, there are people just concoct something and say it's pizza. They still eat it. But it's not attractive. Somebody will likely say, please give me the money. Let me eat amala and 10 pieces of meat. It's better than. Who said yes, sir? 10 pieces of meat far. It's good. That's what made my cousin lose a lady he was going to marry. Yes, because she came to our house. We had I think it was Amala we did in Lagos, and because she was a visitor, we decided to give her like 6 pieces of meat, but she had 4. And my cousin said, what kind of woman eats? It's 4 pieces of meat out of 6 that he cannot marry that woman again. And yes, that's the end. It cost him another maybe 4 years before he got married, and he married somebody else. Yes, so now that woman must have gluttony inside her. Well, it may be wrong, but I'm sure some brothers here feel that is right. Yes or no? So sisters, I hope you are hearing. The brothers feel that multiple meat eaters have gluttony inside them. Okay. So, I'm saying that now, because Jesus went that far, he lived a sacrificial life. And the basic expression in sacrifice is that you are living for the advancement of other people. I know you pray much, but if you want to draw from the energies that are located for this day of the power of the Christ, when we listen to your prayers, we'll find out that your prayers capture more people, more other people in the prayer than yourself. That your 10 hours is not just about you. That you are laboring for others. That your prayers are long because you have a long list of people that you pray for, and not just yourself. Are you with me? That's the way it's calibrated. If you do not live like him, you cannot truly profit from him. And we need to start telling ourselves that these prophecies that have been spoken in scriptures, they come with requirements for fulfillment. They were prophecies that came with no name. But those who want to be numbered in their fulfillment must labor using the same protocols that birthed those prophecies as protocols to live by. December last year, I had the privilege to preach in a CNS church in Oshogbo, and this was my topic. I was to preach on my encounters with God's servant sent Moses Orimolade. I was given 3 hours to preach. There were not too many young people in the church. There were old CNS people in the church, and they had heard some of my visions, and they said, okay, you come and teach us. And so I began to preach. After a while, I sensed that he was in the room, because there's a place you labor to in God that you have allocated the spiritual essence. Are you with me? Lester Sumrall knew that Oral Roberts had that kind of essence, so that when Oral Roberts was invited for a meeting, he had to travel out, and he told his son Richard to preach. So he went in the company of Lester Sumrall. And as Richard Roberts was about to stand to go to the podium, Lester Sumrall held him back and says, your father is not in Asia. He's in the country. Nobody has this strain of the anointing. So sit down. Let them continue singing. It's time to preach. He said, he's close by. He's in town now. But we are wasting their time. He just walked into the building. Then the chair they sat on, the pew they sat on, started vibrating. And when they looked back, the curtain parted, and in came Oral Roberts. That person's specific identity that I spoke about was given a genre of the anointing that people will know that when you do this thing, that if 10 people come to administer healing, they can say, this is Chris Oyakilom, this is Emmanuel, this is Victor. You will leave your print on it. That's the way it was designed. That when you sing, you know, in US they sing songs again and again. So somebody can bring a song and 10 people will sing it as their own songs. You will still see a signature anointing in each of those songs. If you listen to Pure and Holy Passion, whose version did you do on Sunday? William Murphy. You can listen to the Shakob's version. You find out that there's something, it's still the same lines, but it's distinctly different. I was listening to a song this morning, I can't remember the topic. It was sung by John Pickey. It's an old musician, he doesn't sing around again. But he did one with a particular lady, Lavender something, and did another one with Charlie Caesar. When you listen to that Charlie Caesar's own, you know that people taught God. The other one too was good, but he lacked that strength of the spirit that Charlie Caesar used to have. Sacrificed. A generation has no place in this last day revival, in this last day outpouring, if all they have found is excitement and they have not found the way of sacrifice. You know how difficult it is to get you from food. I mean, to pull you away from food. If we do it too hard, you may respond to us and say, me, I love God, but me, I like food. I can't play with my stomach. Don't play with your stomach. There is a realm called the realm of the common. In the construction of the temple, that realm is called the outer court. There is an altar there too. So you can be doing business there. But those who want to come closer, their garments, I've taught on this subject before, temple progressions, many years ago. Is it temple progressions, Lamde, or temple transitions? Temple transitions, maybe 2017, 18. Now, in temple transitions, what I was saying was, you see, when you leave the outer court and enter the holy place, everything changes. You don't eat common bread again. It means your diet must be altered. You don't wear common clothes again. It means there are things that you wear that tell us where you are. Are you with me? Why you still wear it and tell us that? It's because the heart, how do Yoruba say it? A man's heart is where his belief system is. It's your cleaning. Why you are still like that? We know you are an outer court dweller. Because in the outer court is a plane of mixed clothing. On Sundays they wear it well. And sometimes on Sunday they wear it bad too. But during the week, they don't look like church. It's an outer court thing. You are saved. But it means that you don't want to enter into the place of disclosures. Because you want to be socially correct. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Only dying men can inherit a man who died. It looks as if God's burden tonight is about the man who will feature in the day. Because everything I taught, I can show you my note. Everything I taught on this subject tonight is not in my note. I'm just gliding as the Holy Spirit is leading me. I really wanted us to go into the dynamics of how that day was occasioned and how we can come into it. But we leave that for tomorrow. God desperately needs a man in this day of power. Imagine that this day was born at Pentecost. It means at least 2,000 years have passed. Because a day in God is not a 24-hour clock day. It's a season of specific divine activity. I'm going to share on that tomorrow. My time is almost up. However, that day has lasted for too long and it has lacked accurate men. So God is saying, the prophecy came by a man, view his life. The day the prophecy came because the Lord Jesus was enthroned, view his life. The day of power is a day of exaltation. A day when God brings forth the jewels that have been buried. So to prepare to align with that day, men must go under. You know this song that we used to sing, Pastor Dola? They used to use it as danceable song. They say, Ben low, 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 and see what the Lord. How do people dance it? They think the theme of that song, because the song was not a praise song. We had these brothers, I think the Lazarus brothers from the other side of the Niger, Easterners, who sang the song. The song said, the bend low is humble yourself and see what God will do. That's the theme of the song. So when we say, bend low, bend low, bend low, and then we'll be bending low. So people are bending, they're one komale, one nirele. We had the album in our house. Those songs were all corrective songs that they sang. Even as a bridge, the guy would say, "Ben low, brother Ben low." You know those Igbo songs, huh? "Ben low and see what the Lord will do." So we're saying, your arrogance is why God has not performed. Make yourself of no reputation and see what God will make out of your life. We are too rigid to be used. Like we prayed during the 200 hours, asking God to bend us. Another call has come because some people have lost their bend. They have spring. You know how Michael Jackson used to dance. He goes that way and then he goes down, and they found out that his shoe was not like your own. His loafers was provisioned with a spring that ensured that the one who went down came up. Are you with me? It's not criminal. It was just a theatrical thing. Good. So, but you see, some people were bent during the 200 hours. Some people even stop praying now. Say, if you pray for 200 hours in 1 year, kilotuku. Now let's just enjoy ourselves. If you stay out of prayer, you will spring back. If you use prayer to attain bending, then you will use prayer to sustain your bend. Are you with me? It takes long before we end up being deformed. It takes long. Recovering depravity is easy. If you have managed a habit before, you know that if you stop, if fasting got you freedom and you stop fasting, you will soon come back to cry to us to say, I fell again. We know that we fall again, so we don't beat you too hard. Can we pay attention to the protocols that occasion this day of power? Even in the New Testament, do you know that this man, when Jesus left, they could have gone back to doing many things, but Jesus told them, wait. They were willing to live by sacrifice. If Peter's wife called and said, "Why are you staying there? Has he not died? Come back home." What do you think Peter would say? Say, "We are waiting for something." For what? Sacrifice. We will lose touch with trends. We will live differently. We will think differently. We will expect differently. That's what connects us with what God wants to do. 4 o'clock, we'll continue tomorrow. But we want to recover that prayer that we pray during the 2 hours. The vision was the vision of a potted plant, like we used to do in basic science or elementary science. That's what we did. I was planted beside the window. As the bean seed sprouts and begins to grow, as the stem begins to mature, the need to synthesize its diet begins to make it look for light, because they cook their food by a process that you call what? Photosynthesis. And so even though it was planted inside, because of the need to synthesize food to stay alive, it begins to bend in the direction of light. So when it grew, it was straight. But because the light of the sun is outside, you see it tilting. You see it tilting. That was how man was designed to survive, with a bend in the direction of God. They want to plead with him again. Oh! David didn't show up like, was not born like that. The testimony of his birth was that he was in iniquity, that he was conceived, and he didn't have anything to do with the Adamic sin. It was that the human conditions that occasioned his birth. If you see who his military men were, the sons of his sisters were almost his age mates. You will know the kind of family they had. That immorality was not a stranger to that family. He said iniquity was I conceived. But still, he found the way of devotion. He found the way of consecration. He found the way of the anointing. Tonight we want to ask him to bend us. We want to ask him to bend us. Oh, bend us, bend us, bend us, bend us. Bend us. Let this resistance in our hearts to that which you desperately seek to do with us, let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. I know some people are afraid that if he bends them, they will lose their identity. You feel that you'll be fractured. He has gained mastery of how to get it done. He has bent many. And if you ask him tonight, he will bend you. Don't leave me standing rigid. What you seek is willing men. What you seek is pure men. What you seek is consecrated men. You seek devoted men. You seek sacrificial men. You know how to walk these things into a man. Lord, bend me.
Would you bend me? Bend me. Emeko katabi kababalia sebele prata kababi kabame. Ememene ko ba 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 kababele brede be 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 ashata. Amine ke be 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 le brosso kababa ba 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 daya. Aria kababa ba ba kapako tombre ke di di be ashata. Akaka kaka pa 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 la braka pa 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 tapanina takaya. Agaberia kababa ba 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 na matakaya.
Full spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by spiritnerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with spiritnerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.